stands in front of me. Oh, and the reason that I'm standing stands in front of me. Battle that I fought will fade from memory. I'll bow before His mighty throne and fall down on my knees. When the reason that I'm standing stands in front of me.
Amen. Let's stand as we sing this first verse.
I have stood for the gospel when it seemed I stood alone. Through the heartaches and frustrations, kept my focus on the throne. Oh, so many times I have recalled the Savior's words so true. If you won't be ashamed of me, then I won't be of you. And so I'll proudly stand until
I've lost my way. So often I've stumbled, searching for the light of day. Circumstances all around me, I thought I'd surely fall. When the whispering and doubt and fear told me you'd lose it all. But He carried me with hills and amazing.
I'm just so glad
to
tonight.
Thank Him face to face.
Times I've lost my way, so often I've stumbled, searching for the light of day. Circumstances all around me, I thought I'd surely fall. When the whispering of doubt and fear told me you would lose it all, but He carried me with His amazing.
Yeah. upon his face. And the heroes and the martyrs who died on the pagan sword will all stand together and declare, Jesus is Lord.
Oh, and the reason that I'm standing
stands in front of me.
Oh,
every battle that I fought will fade
from
memory. Oh,
I'll bow before his mighty throne and fall down on my knees.
When the reason that I'm standing
Amen. What a moment that's going to be. Amen. In the moment, the twinkling of an eye, we'll be standing in his presence. Amen. The one that gave his life for us. Sometimes we can't fathom that, but you start singing that, it just brings back or brings all these thoughts to mind, and you can't fathom it all with our human minds, but one of these days it's going to be a reality. Amen. Aren't you so glad? You can be seated this evening. Amen. A few prayer requests tonight. Sister Heather Potter. I wanted to ask prayer for Sister Bonnie Potter. Been going through a lot financially and also dealing with some depression. Pray for a faith boost and a good job. Know the Lord is more than able. Amen. So I know the Lord's mindful of that need tonight. Also, Sister Heather Potter turned in a testimony. They had a fire Wednesday night. Everyone was okay, able to get out. Fire department got there, checked on them, said they took their electric meter. Didn't know what they were going to do, but the next day the Lord provided them with an electrician who made the wiring safe enough for them to turn the power back on. Said only part of the house is not currently working. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. Certainly thankful for the Lord's hand of mercy on that family tonight. Amen. I want to remember the Gravelys tonight. Brother Bert will be having surgery on Tuesday. Also to continue to remember Jim Watson tonight. Also, please pray for Brother Keith Strader from West Virginia. Has an unspoken prayer request tonight. I know the Lord's mindful of that need. This request says, brothers and sisters, please pray that God will move for me in my job. I'm a nurse and praying for a change, desperate for a change. It says, thank you all for your prayers. I'm a faithful streamer to the services. God bless you all, Sister Donna. So I know the Lord's mindful of her need tonight. Got this testimony from the Minko family. Says a few months ago, requested prayer for an unspoken request. Joined together in prayer, believing that God would work things out. So just wanted to report that God has moved in the situation, worked things out. Says we praise God. He's an on-time God, working behind the scenes. Only believe. Says my faith has been increased through all of this. I have had to fully trust God because there's nothing else that I could do. Said he's able to do over and abundantly more than we ever see or imagine. Amen. Everybody can say amen to that. Oh, ye of little faith, why did I ever doubt him? Said thank you for streaming God's word and the truth boldly. I love you all, the Minko family. So thankful for that testimony tonight. Also another testimony from the library, Brother Wayne Coffey. This is the father, Sister Carla Price's dad. Said that he fell from a deer stand this morning, head first, hitting his head. He had lots of bleeding and broken teeth. The ambulance had taken him to the hospital. Calls were sent out for prayer. Says after review of x-rays and CT scans, all came back normal. Praise Jesus. Amen. So thankful for that testimony this evening. Also want to remember Brother Christian Davis in prayer. Been sick all week and needs a touch from the Lord tonight. Amen. So I know the Lord certainly is mindful of that need tonight. Brother Rob, would you just come, amen, tonight. Take these needs before the Lord as we stand to our feet. How many has a need on your heart tonight? Amen. You'd ask the church to remember. Amen. Brother Rob, bless you.
I have a prayer request too. My tooth is starting to hurt. It's a toothache. That's nothing to God. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you once again for your grace, Lord. It is sufficient for us. We thank you, Lord, for the requests that were made, some serious and some just their hearts cry out for you, Lord, as we learn, as we get closer and closer to the day, Lord, that you call us home. The cry of the bride comes forth to heaven. I pray, O God, that you'd come to this service tonight. Give us more of what it is that we have need, O Lord. Complete in us what needs to happen. I pray, Lord, for the speaker, Lord. Help him to surrender himself that we can hear from you. I pray for the prayer requests, Lord. I pray that you would move in a special way, Lord. It is already done. Just give us faith to believe it, Lord. Your faith, as we live by your faith and not ours. I pray, God, that you'd help us, strengthen our hearts today. Teach us of the things of heaven and give us what we have need of. I pray, O God, by your Spirit, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Let's sing this little song tonight. It's an old hymnal song, Fill My Way With Love Every Day. Amen. I keep remembering that service. I don't know if Brother Darrell's here tonight, but just keep remembering my brother's keeper. Amen. That he preached a couple weeks ago. Just keeps ringing in my mind. Amen. What a powerful message that was. Let's sing this tonight. Fill my way every day with love. Amen.
Oh, fill my way every day with love.
Amen. Let's sing this song tonight. See those clouds. Amen. They're the ones he's coming back on. Amen. Quick announcement. Tonight, time changes, so turn your clock back an hour. I said, I told Brother Louie I wasn't going to announce that so that everybody would be here when song service started in the morning for him. But if you don't turn your clock back, don't worry. You'll just be here a little early in the morning. Amen. Let's sing this song as the brothers would come lift the evening offering tonight. Oh, see those clouds. They're the ones he's coming back in. From the east, when Christ returns to earth again. You can be seated this evening.
nestled in the darkness of this lonely pilgrim land, raising strong and mighty fortresses that I alone command. But these castles I've constructed by the strength of my own hand are just temporary kingdoms on foundations made of sand. In the middle of the battle, I believe I finally found, I'll never know the thrill of victory till I'm willing to lay down all my weapons of defense and earthly strategies of war. So I'm laying down my arms and running helplessly to yours. I surrender all my silent hopes and dreams. Though the price to follow costs me everything, I surrender all my human soul desires. If sacrifice requires that all my kingdoms fall, I surrender. My ambition is the treasure I obtain. If I measure my successes on a scale of earthly gain, if the focus of my vision is the status I attain, my accomplishments are worthless and my efforts are in vain. So I lay aside these trophies to pursue a higher crown. And should you choose somehow to use the life I willingly lay down, I surrender all the triumph, for it's only by your grace. I relinquish all the glory, I surrender all the praise.
Sometimes he just wants a surrendered heart. Amen to him. Let's just stand tonight Amen. Let's sing this little chorus. What a mighty God Jesus is. Amen. Let's sing that as Brother Donnie would come tonight. Amen. I trust you come expecting and believing this evening. Amen. Let's sing that.
Oh, what a mighty God Jesus is. Oh, what a mighty God my Jesus is. Heaven and earth adore Him.
Amen. Just close your eyes and raise your hands and worship Him tonight.
Oh, what a mighty God Jesus is. Oh, what a mighty God. Heaven and earth. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Ooh. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's sing it again, can we? Oh, what a mighty God. My Jesus, yeah. Hallelujah. Jesus is. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Jesus, bow before Him. What a mighty God Jesus is. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad your God's a mighty God? You're not the only one that has a God. You know that. Some folks' God is sports. Some folks' God is money and this and that and the other. But wouldn't you hate to think sports was your mighty God? Couldn't heal you when you got sick. Couldn't encourage you when you got down. Especially if your team lost. So if politics was your God, then somebody in this building, I mentioned it Wednesday, is going to be sad Tuesday night. But the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, He's not just good to help us here in this life, but one of these days when this body has gone back to dust, and if time goes on, goes back to acids, He'll speak and will raise. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, I feel like shouting a little bit. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. One of the ministers had pasted a thing this week on a minister's chat that I'm on, and he was overseas. A friend of mine had shared with him, and then he shared it with the rest of us brothers, that they just finished a poll in Switzerland, and they found that 37% of the people that were polled in Switzerland didn't believe there was a God. It's increasing more and more around the world. No doubt a much larger percentage here in America would believe there is no God. So after he posted that, I posted Psalms 14:1. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. So if there's anybody here tonight or anybody streaming the service and you're saying there is no God, I've got one word for you. I'm not going to mince words. I ain't worried about being politically correct. If you don't think there's a God, you're a fool. According to the Bible. According to the Bible. To me, it takes more faith to believe Darwinism than it does creationism. When you look at the animals and you look at the universe and you look at the things and how they just decided one day, in the Amazonian forest, there is a certain little hopper, a little bug of a thing that has long sloping wings, a white looking diagram, sort of looks similar to an eye. She lays her eggs on a certain plant. Then there is a certain ant which comes and does guard duty. Now these ants stay on these little insects until they're big enough to be able to form a butterfly, which is what they look like. So these ants stay there and guard these little insects their whole life. Now what these little larvae do is they secrete a sweetness from their body which feeds the ant. Now, isn't that smart of them bugs? I mean, they was a blob one day, and they just decided, you know what, we need to make a team. And there was another blob laying over here next to that blob, and that blob said to this blob, I'll be the ant blob, and you be the butterfly blob, and we'll just kind of blob along. How's that for blobbing? People that would believe such nonsense are idiots. I don't care if they're professors. I don't care if they're doctors. I don't care if it's a president. They're idiots. They ain't got a lick of sense. And they feel sorry for us. Huh. We not only believe in a living God, we see Him among us. Praise the Lord. So let me ask you this, for those who believe in evolution, do they see that still happening? So if evolution is their God, then why aren't we evolving out of this mess we're in? Why aren't the bugs and the trees and the planet? I mean, hey, it's bad. Well, if evolution is a God and all-powerful and all-knowing, it still should be ongoing. Well, I'm not sure who that was for, but there you go. Praise the Lord. My goodness, Lord. Pre-sermon. Song of Solomon, that don't count now on my preaching time. That was just Song of Solomon chapter 2 verse 15. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. 2 Timothy 4:10, we've been reading this for a few services, but let's read it again. We'll try to cover this guy maybe tonight or tomorrow one. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Now, if you know the history of Demas, you know that Demas was a rich man, businessman. His family had great businesses in Thessalonica. Demas did not become an infidel. Demas did not turn into an unbeliever and not believe any further in God. But he kept wanting to believe in God, and be identified as a preacher, but in a more compromised state. Because he got to looking at Paul, which wound up with only one coat, and had to leave his buddy up in a certain place because his buddy got sick, and Paul seemed like lost his ability to pray for the sick, and the coppersmith run him out of town, and it seemed like that Paul was losing his ministry. And it became very, very much of a reproach of following this preacher around, because this preacher got so low in his walk and his faith that he started carrying a doctor with him everywhere he went. Dr. Luke. Luke was a doctor. So Paul got so low that he had to start carrying this doctor around with him everywhere he went. So Demas looked at him and said, there's something wrong with this guy. He's washed up. He's losing his ministry. He got off at the end. Praise the Lord. But we know, of course, no better. You remember the story that Brother Branham tells about Brother Bosworth when he said, you know what I'm going to do, Brother Branham, whenever I get there to heaven? And he said, I'm going to walk up. I'm going to walk right up to Demas, and I'm going to hit him as hard as I can right in the face and say, why did you leave Paul? Brother Branham said, if I was you, I'd be careful about wanting to go where Demas wound up. Praise the Lord. I don't want to be like Demas, do you? Now we're going to speak again tonight, Lord willing, on the little fox of an unsurrendered life. I don't mind telling you, I've become so overwhelmed as I've started looking at this. I know there's got to be an end to it, but I just don't see it in sight, really. But let's just bow our heads together. How many would like to be remembered tonight? I certainly need your prayers as well. Would you pray for me? Heavenly Father, as we approach you tonight, we're so grateful, Lord Jesus, that we have the living God among us. Oh, praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for saving us. Thank you for filling us with the Holy Ghost, giving us a desire to serve you. When the world is groping in such darkness, Lord Jesus, we thank you the light of God is present in this day. We ask you tonight, Father, that you'd be mindful of us, that you'd speak to us from your word. May you take our hearts and make our hearts fertile ground by which the Spirit of God can take the seed word and sow it in our hearts so it will produce a crop that is pleasing to you. Heavenly Father, I have in my hand tonight this prayer cloth for Sister Jan Winters. Lord Jesus, we ask you that you'd just be with our sister, that you'd help her. Lord, you see the difficulties in her body, how she'd love to be able to be here in church. Father, would you touch her, Lord? Would you please help her, Lord God? Would you move for her, Lord, and just give her strength to be able to come back to the house of God? Yes. Lord, other needs that was represented tonight by the raising of the hand. Lord, I'm so needy of you, Father. Lord God, no doubt I'm the most needy person that's here. Lord, I pray that you'd help me. Help me to get out of the way. Help me to surrender, Lord God, my mind, my thinking. Help me to surrender everything I am, to move it apart. Lord Jesus, that you can speak to me. These children of yours have come here tonight. They need you. They're hungry. Father, they need strength. They need courage. Help me to be a mouthpiece, Lord. Speak to us tonight. We ask in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you, saints. You may be seated. A complete surrender brings the reality of God into every heart, unlike any other thing that you and I can do. We could pray, we could fast, we could read our Bible, we could attend church faithfully, we could pay our tithes. You could pay 20% if you want, you can pay 50% if you want. That won't bring any closer to God. You could give your goods to the poor. You could do so many things that you're able to do on your own without much sacrifice. But it will never bring the realities of God until we can be able to reach a place where we have given to God that which we hold back of an unsurrendered attitude. We know that God desires so much to have a church, a people that will walk with Him, that will be His subjects in so much that the Spirit of God will be able to take Him in the last days, and through that bride, that vine on the earth, that He will be able to live His own life, continue His own ministry in so much that Brother Branham said that whenever He went away, He will come back again for a body, a church on the earth that will have the same type of ministry that He had when He was here. And that was a supernatural ministry acting in the body. Did they save the world? Nope. Did they turn the world upside down as far as numbers? Nope, they did not. But they did to those that was able to receive it. Now, Brother Branham mentions it to us, of course, in several places here. And listen, let me just read a couple. And Al Shaddai said, when you come to a total obedience, then you can have possession. So possession then is based upon believing, of course, that God is, and believing that He is for you. It wouldn't do any good for you to believe Him in general that God could do it if you don't make it personal for yourself. And then being able to come to that spot to where we can enter into full possession is always us giving up more of that which hinders us, that releases or creates a space within our mind, within our soul, a vacancy as it was, and then it allows the Spirit of God to come in us in a greater way. We'll never get any more of God until we are willing to give something away. And this is where, of course, the struggle always is, because we want to so protect that which we feel like we are. We hold on to tradition, we hold on to isms, and we hold on to various things, and those things are the very points in our life that bring us to that spot that hinder us so much. Notice again he says, when God plants His promise in you, it becomes a living reality, then something is different. You just don't go and say, yes, I believe it, now that's all right. The devil believes it like that, and we know that is an intellectual faith. But it's confirmed to you, and the word becomes alive in you, which the devil will never be able to have. Thank God for that. Then you begin to see what it is. Again, unfailing realities. How can God show you realities before you surrender yourself to Him? You've got to surrender. Now, to me, it's still a partial mystery. I understand part of it, but yet it's still a partial mystery to me how that people can be able to give God a portion of themselves, and God will actually take that portion and use it. Now, let me speak this to you so you'll be able to understand even about music. Now, it offends some people around the message, because we will sing songs that are written and sung by people who are not in the message. So we will be offensive to them, you know, if we sing a song and it's good words, it may be scriptural verses, and they want to know, well, who wrote that song? Was it what message church did they come from? Where did they come from? Well, they didn't exactly come from a message church, but it was a secular singer, we said, gospel singer. Oh, we don't do that in our church. Them people are known to the devil. We do not allow anybody to sing songs in our church that was not written by a message person. Well, I find that very strange, since the prophet messenger himself did not preach that as a doctrine. As a matter of fact, you'll find most of the songs that Brother Branham sang were not written by message people. Brother Branham sung songs that was wrote by him. But if you look at the song that Brother Branham sings in Shreveport in 1965 on the wings of a snow white dove, and you do a little bit of research on that song, it will be shocking what you find out. That song was written by Ferdinand Husky. It was actually a number one song on the country and western charts. It was not written by a message person. It was not even written by a saved man. The song that we sing around here, that many of you have sung all of your life, I saw the light, I saw the light, that wasn't written by a Christian man. Praise the Lord. But yet inspiration falls on people, and I agree. Sometimes we have to modify the beat. Sometimes we have to modify and maybe leave out this chord and leave out this progression and this and that. We do it the Happy Valley style of it, for sure. But yet it does not mean that we're the only ones that gets inspiration. Let me just go ahead and shock you a little more. I can see you're in ultra mega shock. So let me go ahead and shock you tonight. You know what? There'll be many foolish virgin preachers that'll stand up in the morning and they will preach sermons to foolish virgin people that Almighty God gave that sermon to that preacher to help them foolish virgins make it through the tribulation period. Praise the Lord. That's exactly right. Who is it that you figure is going to help them people make through it? Absolutely right. It's the Spirit of God. So it's the same way with songs. It's the same way with inspiration. The Spirit of God can fall on the just and the unjust. And there are people who are able to hear things and they're able to be inspired and get inspired. Oh, bless God, Brother Donnie. I would never sing a song or read a scripture from anybody that ever backslid. Well, we're going to have to tear out the scripture I just read. The Song of Solomon then, because the man who wrote that, who wrote Ecclesiastes, who wrote Proverbs, his heart fell away from God. He became an idol worshiper. Come on, Happy Valley. So we're going to throw all of his songs away, all of his inspiration away. When he was a servant submitted to God, the inspiration was genuine, pure, and right. That's exactly right. So, you know, but can those people then ever come? Oh my, there's gifted songwriters. It just astounds you how they're able to write. And yet you look at their life and you find out they not only write gospel songs, they write country love songs. And they write this type of song and that type of song. And yet they're able to give that. They're able. Look at some of the country singers. Many of them learn how to sing in church. Many of them, what do? When they go to Ryman Auditorium down in Nashville, many of them will do one or two or three gospel songs, and the people will sit there and cry, and they have the ability to sing, and you can sense the anointing, and they're able to surrender that one song in their entertainment, and the Spirit of God will move, which will be a witness against them at the day of judgment. That's right, because they will submit that gift to God for that long a time, and the presence of God will come down, and God may even deal with a backslider sitting there, deal with somebody sitting there and them feeling the Spirit of God. Don't you understand how much he wants folks to be saved? How much did he look for? And we're becoming worse than any denomination that's ever been. We feel like we've got some kind of hold on God, that God can't do anything without us. He'll do whatever he wants without us. One of us are replaceable. Happy Valley Church is replaceable. Donnie Reagan is replaceable. Every person here is replaceable. The only one here tonight that's not replaceable is him. All the rest of us are replaceable. That's right. So we can't put no hold on God and say, God, you can't do this and you can't do that. Look, we got some brothers in our ranks that so emphasize miracles and signs and wonders as if though that's the only sign God gives his people. Let me tell you something. There's Pentecostal people out yonder that pray for the sick. They have miracles. They have all kinds of things that happen to them. Come on now. That within itself is not a sign that God is with us. Praise be to God. Well, hallelujah. I thought I was done a shotgun preaching after Wednesday night, and here I go again tonight. Now, so people can be able to surrender a certain part of themselves to the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God will take that part that they give, and he will anoint that part in order to be a blessing, a help, an encouragement, or whatever more. And yet, they would retain maybe a big portion of who they are, say 75-25, they give God 25%, and they will be able to submit that to God, and God will actually use that. that. And then they will keep the biggest portion of themselves for their own self, their own interests, their own desires. And yet the prophet tells us that God will use that part that we give to him. It's the same way with preachers, with singers, with songwriters, with musicians. A person might give their hands to God. They might give their ears to God. And yet they retain an element of their pride, their prestige, and their heart. And yet they look at what they're giving to God by their hands on the keys or their fingers on strings or whatever more, and they think they're doing so much and they're giving so much to God, but they're holding so much more by what they're keeping inside of their heart. Y'all gonna preach with me tonight? Now, whenever we look at that, always, you know, one character that always sticks out to me when I think along those lines, I'm sure you do as well, is Samson of the Old Testament. Now, Samson was this type of a man, that he was able to give his sinews to God. He was able to give his build to God. And we know that he was a shrimp when he was a little short sort of a guy. But apparently, with all this muscular display that the Spirit of God used, that it built something within Samson, that it made Samson's human strength actually stronger than it was before God started using it. Now that's a danger with any person, because the more we get in the channel of God, the more confident that we begin to display. But if we're not careful, that will be the very thing that will lead to our downfall. So actually starts out as a curly headed shrimp, and he has seven little mama curls hanging down his back, sissy curls I probably called it, and he kind of hanging around his mama's skirt tail. So here he was, started out as a weak little sort of a guy that amounted to nothing. But the more he surrendered to God, the stronger actually that he got. Now it came to a place to where that he could be able to feel a little bit of confidence. And maybe, you know, he'd go down to the gym and that all life at him. And he'd first come into Gold's Gym or whoever's gym it was. And he couldn't even get the things off the ground. They'd just life at him and life at him. But the more he surrendered himself to God and the Spirit of God was able to move on him, then he began to notice there was something about his humanity that began to correspond to the anointing. So then it was actually building something within him to where that there was a transfer or a dispensational change in Samson, to where Samson got to where a little bit of this strength actually became his own. Now you take any musician that is here, whether they was taught how to play or whether it was a gift from God. Harry back there, Brother Larry, most of these brothers that you hear play, they did not go to school to be taught how to play. Or the singers here at the church go to school to be taught how to play. Same with me. My mama told me E and D and G. And then from there I learned how to play. My uncle and them prayed for me years ago and asked God to help me. And from there it came. But as you begin to do that, then your own ability, your intellect, your gift expands, and you pick up certain things. You hear from others, and then you begin to incorporate that. So you get to where you can play with or without the anointing. Now, why is that? It's because your ability is so expanding under the anointing time that you get to where your human comprehension, your human ability is getting better. Preachers get to where they can preach with or without the Holy Ghost. That's right. And many folks are living right, so-called, without a God-called, Holy Ghost-filled life. And you know what? Me, the message folks are no more than Amish, Mennonite, Hutterites, or whatever more. They dress that way not because of the indwelling presence of God, but it's just the way they do. And it's what clothes are in their closet, so they put them on. So it doesn't mean that they're born again. And it's the same way then, whenever a person would get under the anointing, that we must always remember, when we are doing that, we are expanding our humanity under the impulse of the presence of God. Now, the more we go, the more we learn, the more capable we become, and the more danger area we're stepping into, because our human ability is expanding. Now, it's a parallel, catch 22 if you will, to where the more we learn how to surrender, the more God can flow through us. But the more we're under that anointing, the more dangerous it is, because in case we fall back in our humanity, that our humanity is getting getting stronger and stronger, our comprehension of quoting the word, if it's a preacher, our ability to remember chords and, you know, and rhythms and this and that and the other, it becomes greater and greater, and then a person can sit down and do it in church, out of church, it don't matter. Elvis Presley didn't get to a place he couldn't talk after he got out of church. Elvis learned how to dance and shake his leg, you know where? In the Assembly of God Church. So then he incorporated his dance and his body movements and shaking his leg and all of that. Where did he learn that? By a reaction of the Holy Ghost dancing under a Pentecostal anointing. And then he brings that Pentecostal move that he learned in church up on the platform. Now, people would have never went to church and watched that. They would have laughed and ridiculed and made fun of it. Isn't it amazing? They're seeing a man in person, a Pentecostal dancing up on a platform, and they go wild over it. Now, if it had been some mama or some daddy or some saint of God that had been shouting at a church, that had called them holy rollers and run them out on a rail. But here this guy actually sells his soul to the devil, praise the Lord, sells his soul out to the devil, then he takes that thing which he learned in the Pentecostal thing. And yet, those of you that know the history of Elvis know that nearly at the end of every concert, he would go back to his room or go back to where he was, and he would finish the night with drinking and drugs, singing gospel songs. Loved to sing with the Stamps Quartet and all of those. To me, it was a miserable human being that come to a spot that he crossed the line yet knowing where the real truth really was. Oh, I hope somebody's going to hear me tonight. And Samson, when I look at Samson, that's the kind of man I see. I see a man in a paradoxical state. I see a man that is really a weakling, but I see a man that has become strong. I see a man that doesn't have very much substantial faith from within himself. But I do see a man who's learned how to surrender a thing to God that God gave him. And the more he surrenders, then it also produces more of a self-confidence in within. In him. I see a man that to me I pity. I look at Samson and we rejoice in his victories, but his outcome is always so sad. And that is that he allowed the enemy that he was sent to destroy to finally annihilate him. And you look at Samson, and to me is the epitome of an unsurrendered heart. Now, as he goes on under the anointing, let me read you a quote so you'll understand and you'll be able to say amen to me. You know I'm not off on left field somewhere. Brother Bam said, look at Samson. God can only use what you surrender to him. Samson was a... Okay. So he started out as a shrimp, a mama's boy. But now when the prophet catches him in this stage of his life, he's a big, strong man. How was he growing under the anointing? In the service of God, he was becoming a big, strong man. Friend, I hope you understand what I'm saying tonight. A big, strong man. He had a lot of strength. So he come from a shrimp to a man with a lot of strength. Why? Because the muscles the Holy Ghost was anointing was becoming exercised. So whenever he was picking up a jawbone, when he was doing all that he was doing, his muscles in the natural sense, it was a form of exercise. So he was actually building, and no doubt his muscles was getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So he went from looking like Mrs. Atlas to Mr. Charles Atlas. Under what? Under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And then he could look around. Where do you figure that he got so proud and so arrogant that he would be able to display the secret that God gave him? Because he could look at the size of his arms and see they were no longer the arms of a shrimp. They were no longer the size of his biceps and all of his muscular ability about him. He had grown under the, oh Lord God, help us to that, Lord. Don't you understand? Friends, how dangerous it is for anybody that yields himself to the Spirit of God. If we're not careful, we don't realize we're growing under that discipline. display of the anointing, and if we're not careful, we'll trust totally in the display of the muscles that we're building. My God, may God help us that we never get that way. May God help us, as long as there's a church on this hill, that we never get to a spot. Oh, we can have church without the Holy Ghost. I agree. We can have it, but we'll be no more than any other cold, formal denomination. Notice he says Samson surrendered his strength to God. Where did he get this strength? He's a shrimp. Everybody knows what shrimp are, right? He was not a lobster. He was a shrimp. But now he's becoming a lobster. Under what? The Spirit of God moving and moving and moving on this man. And now he's building where? His flesh. His confidence in his humanity. Why do you think he would ever be seduced to give away such a secret as God had told him, unless he felt like he'd reached the spot? He didn't need the secret no more. Oh, we're so predestinated, we don't have to go to church more than once a month. We don't need to pray and read our Bibles. Yeah, you know what you're getting? You're building up your own muscles. You're building up your own confidence and your own ability. You're heading for a fall, Samson. Oh, my. Notice Samson surrendered his strength to God, but he wouldn't give his heart. He gave his heart to Delilah. See, that's the way with the people today. Oh, brother, they'll reach down. Now notice, they'll reach down and pay off debts and things like that and build a bigger denomination and so forth. But when it comes to giving their heart, they won't do it. Oh, so you pass the plate over, but we're going to try to help brother so-and-so here. His house burned up. Yes, sir, I'll do it. I'll do it. Praise God. I'll reach down in there. And they can do that. Is that a part of them that God can bless? Yep. And actually, God will turn right around and bless them for doing it. And they broke into that part of the commandment of God, and God will bless them back. And the next time, they'll have even more to give the next time. Because they have learned to give that to God, and it doesn't really hurt them. You know, it doesn't really hurt them. But to reach down and maybe an old grudge, or be able to forgive somebody, or be able to really turn loose in the presence of God, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, they just can't do it. So what do they give God? George Washington. It's easier to give old Abe than it is give old you. We'll drop Abe's in the offering, and you know, George Washington's, and then when God goes by passing his plate for a collection, what do we drop in there? IOUs. God, I owe you my all. God, I owe you everything. God, I owe you. So you know what you're doing? You're giving God IOUs. I know I need to be this. I know I need to pray. I know I need. But when are you going to do it? So God comes by, passing his offering plate, and we drop in, I owe you my life. I owe you my soul. I owe you everything. My, my, my. This is some good preaching tonight, sir. Because it ain't me doing it. It's you. I had my mind was going to stay on Samson here about 10 minutes and get to something else I'm burning to get through, but the main man said, shut up, Donnie, and let me do the talk. Amen. Now, notice, again, Brother Bram tells us once more, that Samson, God gave his strength to use, but he didn't give God his heart. He gave his heart to Delilah and gave his strength to God. So it was not just his frame. It was not just his muscles, but now he had built enough strength in the human body, then God would take that. God would take the muscles that started out real, real tiny and flimsy, maybe like mine or even smaller than mine, and then he winds up being this great, big, muscular sort of guy because the Spirit of God has moved on him. What did Paul tell us in the book of Hebrews? That we exercise our senses, discerning the Word from the sincere milk of the Word unto the meat of the Word by discerning our senses. And as we do, we grow thereby. And as we grow, our intellect is getting smarter. We're hearing more quotes, more scriptures, and we can quote them as good as the preacher can anymore. And if he misquotes it, we will let him know that. Because we're going from our memory instead of our heart. Right? So we will present that to God, but can we present everything that we are, or do we retain that and give God our strengths? Now, my strength is, I believe God, I do this and I can do that. You see, many times that's what we give to God. So if we got real strong faith, yes, sir, God, praise God, I'll give you that, Lord. Notice this is what Samson is giving to God, not giving God his weakness. He's got a woman problem. But so what is he giving to God? His strengths. Oh God, I'm so strong in this. Oh, this is here. God said, no, I want your weaknesses. No, now God, you don't want to. Let me take care of that. I'll work it out. God, in time, I'll work it out. It'll destroy you. It will annihilate you. Notice he said, you've got to surrender soul, body, spirit, oh my, strength, everything you are to the will of God and become a prisoner to him. You're going to be somebody's prisoner. You're going to be somebody, oh my, you don't belong to yourself. You're somebody's prisoner. You're either a prisoner of the devil, knowing this truth and won't surrender to it. Or a prisoner to the world and surrender to God, or the other. You're either the devil's prisoner to sin or God's prisoner to righteousness. Oh, hallelujah. You're one or the other. Aren't you glad you're a prisoner tonight of God? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Old people out running tonight having a big time. Boy, ain't nobody telling me what to do. Oh, yes, they are. They're telling them exactly what to do. They are the devil's prisoner. And they do it under the auspices of freedom. I'm free. I come and go as I please. I do what I want. No, we don't. We do so by the man we're married to inside. Those who drink, those who lie, those who smoke, those who run around, you know why they do so? Their first husband wants nicotine. Their first husband wants alcohol or wants drugs. Come on. And so did yours. And so did mine until we met the Lord Jesus. And by death, that first husband died. And we got married again to another nature. Now we want to go to church. We want to live right. We want to do right. Why? The man we are married to demands it. Again, he says, notice what God will use. If he can just get a half-hearted man like Samson. Samson surrendered his strength to God, but gave his heart to Delilah. That's the way many times we do. Just give something to God. Not all. But God wants all. But you see, friend, part of Samson's problem was his friends. It's who that he kept hanging around. Now, I realize that most of you working in public work, that you're going to have friends that you're going to work with at the shop. You're going to have friends you're going to work with at the bank, loan institutions, construction, whatever it is. But if those friends, which are unconverted, do not believe the light of this hour, they are your best friends, you need to be born again. You're missing something. Oh, but haven't done it. I'm just so close to them. Tell them what you believe and see if they remain that way. Oh, well, no, I'm using wisdom. No, you're being a coward. You're not using no wisdom at all. Come on. But you see, Samson kept keeping a friendship and a tie to the Philistines. It's like he could not break away from the very enemy that God had raised him up to destroy, which is the very type of the world. That's what the Philistines represent. So like then, so now, with young people, with older people, with whoever. I've seen it so many times with young people that a young girl will begin to like a young boy. Maybe he's a compromiser, or it can be vice versa. He's a compromiser, and they really don't have an experience with God, really don't want to go on with God. And in time, you watch that young girl, she will change. She will lose that element of her spirituality. She'll lose that sensitive touch that the Spirit of God can deal with. If it's a young man, it can be the same way, that a girl begins to work on him, and he gets to where, well, you know, maybe mom and dad's just too strict, and maybe Brother Donnie is too strict. Look, friend, if compromising would help you get into heaven, I'd compromise tonight. But compromise won't help you or me. Compromising will take us to hell, not to heaven. Right. So Samson kept hanging around the Philistines. So one association would break off, and it's like there was a weakness there in Samson that he could never break totally away. And these people are his enemies. These are the people he sent to destroy, but there was a certain likability about the Philistines, especially the women. Well, I'm going to preach with or without you. I mean, it's up to you all. You see, many, many people, their downfall has been because of a close friend. Oh my, this girlfriend, oh, she is just so close. Oh, she don't believe like we do. And you know, she tells me every now and then that we're a bunch of nuts and all that. But we're just so close. You better watch it, sis. You better watch it, young man, because the devil is laying a snare for you. And if you're not careful, they'll begin to talk to you and begin to raise up questions in your mind whether you even believe what you believe or not. Oh, praise the Lord. Preach, Brother Donnie. Notice this. Usually the prophet said if a man's going to be a believer, he's got to separate himself from his worldly friends. He's got to separate himself. Oh, he's not supposed to be nice, Brother Donnie. That's not what the prophet said. Treat all men nice. Be kind to all people. This is the only kindness they'll get. That's right. I'm kind to everybody. I don't care who it is. Bobbed head, painted face, Jezebel, witch, who dogs, whoever they are. I just speak and be nice to all of them, because many of them are going to hell and they're going to be destroyed. So they deserve a smile every now and then. But you know what? For to be a friend, if you heard tonight that one of my closest friends was a drug addict and a drunk and a liar and a womanizer, and you said, that's Brother Donnie's close friend, could you have confidence in me? No? Well, I have none in you when your friends are that way. Because there ain't no difference just because it's me and you. Sure, acquaintances, you'd call them friends, that's right. But when it comes to that camaraderie, there's only one kind of people the real elect can really get really close to, and that's the seed of God. That's right. So the prophet said, if a man's really going to be a believer, he's got to separate himself from his worldly friends. All the people, yoke yourself out up from amongst unbelievers. They'll only call you back into the world again. Oh my goodness, so they will call you back. Don't you understand? That's what demons are trying to do. Get you hooked up with a boy or a girl or somebody you work with. Oh, I feel so close to them. I don't say you don't. More than likely, it's a demon on you and a demon on them. Well, I feel closer to them than I do my pastor. I definitely know it's a demon. Your pastor is your shepherd. Well, I feel closer to them than I do my husband or my wife. Yep, definitely demons. Hallelujah. Notice the prophet said they'll only call you back into the world again. Now this is a type of Christian in type that Samson was. So he was a weak-hearted believer that could constantly be called back into the world of Philistia. Now the Philistines were a horrible people. Absolutely a terrible, terrible, ungodly, wicked, sinful people. He should have never been over and over again identified with such a group of people. But it was like a weakness in Samson. He could never give his heart totally to God. Look at the danger of an unsurrendered heart. Give God your muscles. Give God your ears. Give God your ability to fight. Give God your triceps, your biceps, your triceps, and whatever more seps you got. But God don't want all your biceps and your triceps. God wants your heart. God can do more with a surrendered heart than all your muscles, all your money, all your intellect, all your looks. Oh my. Brother Branham said, when you're a Christian, you associate with Christians and you go with Christians and be a Christian. You've got to have the right kind of an environment around you. If you get out in the pool rooms and the dance halls and the shindigs and everything else and call yourself a Christian, the first thing you know, you'll be believing it's all right to do it. Okay, so you can be a Christian, you start going to all these worldly things, and you keep going over and over and over again. You miss church, then you know this and their service, and then that service, and you don't read your Bible. The next thing you know, oh my, there's just as good of people here as they are at church. As a matter of fact, I've been treated better by some of these people at this ball game than I have at church. Well, I could probably amen that, but that does not change one thing about the truth. Well, praise the Lord. Well, Brother Donnie, I don't go to church. There's too many hypocrites, all right? If you do not follow that same philosophy on Walmart, you're going to hell. There's more hypocrites, more homosexuals, more lesbians, more liars, more idolaters in Walmart than you'll ever find at Happy Valley. But yet you go to Walmart and get what you want. You go sit down to a restaurant and a homo may be serving you, bringing your food out. You want their hands close to your food? Praise the Lord. Oh, well, I don't pay no attention to them. I just go to Longhorn and I sit down and get me a steak. That's exactly my philosophy about going to church. I'm not coming looking for the hypocrites and the liars and the devils. I come to the house of God to worship. I come to the house of God to feed. I come to the house of God to be blessed. My. So the first thing you know, you'll be believing it's all right to do it. Notice again, the Queen of Sheba, it costs something, that is a surrendered heart to the will of God. Sometimes it costs you your friends. It will, if they're worldly friends. But he that will not forsake even his own and follow me is not worthy to be called mine. It costs something. Now let me emphasize this to you tonight before we change. Anyone here or anyone out here that winds up being cannon fodder, you will be so because you chose a cannon fodder lifestyle. If you want to go to heaven, even if you're not bride, God is not standing there trying to keep you out. God wants you to come. That's why he said, whosoever will, let him come. People that try, well, I want to serve God, but God won't let me. That is a lie from the pits of hell. If you want to serve God, he is not standing there trying to keep you out. Come on, saints. He loved you so much. John 3:16. We all know it by heart. Jesus himself, the one quoting it, God so loved the world, the cosmos. You can't get no lower than that. That he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him, that includes everybody. That includes the Democrats and the Republicans and the Libertarians and the liars and the smokers and the tobacco chewers and the church members and whatever more. If they want to be saved, they can be saved. And if they wind up being cannon fodder, it is because of one reason. They chose to live a life of cannon fodder. Brother Donnie, what if you ain't bride? I'm going to win either way. Even if I ain't bride, if I ain't elect, I'm still going to be there. Only difference is in proximity to the closeness of the throne where I'll be. I ain't going to hell. I don't want to go. And it would be against the justice of God to send me to hell when I love him so much. I want to be around him. I want to be around his people for eternity. He can't send me to hell. Now let's change our scene. We come to a very nervous time. The tension is so thick, you could cut it with a knife. Everyone's anxious. They're torn up. Things have culminated and led up to a certain spot, and they know something's fixing to happen, and they just don't have a good feeling that it's going to be well. They're just uncertain. Their minds are muddled and just unclear. The scene is before Jesus is fixing to be crucified. Amen. It is the scene with our beloved Lord and his disciples. They have been saved, as we call it, sanctified, St. John 17. Personally baptized in water by the Lord Jesus himself. So they're saved, sanctified, baptized, and preachers. And they've learned how to surrender an element of themselves. And if you don't believe that, read Matthew 10. And you'll find when they come back on their report back from their missionary journey, and they're standing up there and said, Lord, do we cast out devils in your name? And this happened, and that happened. Jesus said, don't rejoice because devils are subject to you, but rather that your names are written in heaven. Amen. 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 Notice Matthew 26:31. Then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. Now remember, we're not talking about Cephas, we're not talking about Pharisees, Sadducees, we're done past that stage. It's aware that it is the apostles, and they are gathered together. Oh my. But after I'm risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. No doubt he believed this. No doubt, Brother Terry, he believed this with all of his heart. Oh my. But yet there was something about Peter's heart. He had never been able, and of course the Holy Ghost is not given, so we know it cannot really consummate in a new birth. But even if it had been up to this time, Peter didn't have it. Because his confidence is so extreme in himself. He is so, can I say, cocky. He's just so arrogant. And you know how Peter was. I mean, he's always brazen and bold and all the time sticking up his foot, you know, and doing this and that and the other. And yet him looking at that and maybe attributing that to be an attribute from God. Nothing to do with God. Some folks look at their ability to argue and they think, glory to God, God made me this way. I think I'd question that if I was you. That's why we don't get rid of many of these things in our humanity, because we think they're God-given attributes. If we looked at them the way God does, how he despises them, we'd humble ourselves and turn them right over to him. But as long as you're thinking it's God, you ain't going to ask God to help you take it away. Well, preach, Brother Donnie. Oh my. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men. Now watch what he's doing. Now Peter is elevating himself above all the rest of the brethren. I don't care what Jimmy does. I don't care what Jack does. I don't care what Harvey does. I'll never do it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. I feel it all over me right now. I'll tell you one thing. This is the most dangerous type of unsurrendered heart. One that feels their love for God is God's love for them. He feels his human love for Jesus is so strong. I'll never do it. I love you. But you see, that love that he was feeling was a contemptible love. It was a weak love. Friends, listen to me. The scripture tells us in the book of Jeremiah, the heart is so deceitful. Who can know it?
That's true. That's
right. I know we said a lot, and y'all have said amen for years and years and years, but we still don't comprehend it. Your greatest enemy is yourself. Oh, Brother Donnie, God can only point out my faults. He does it service after service, but you think it's me. You think it's Brother Terry telling you that, or Brother Chisholm telling you that. What's the Spirit of God telling you? Oh, thank you, Lord. My. Peter answered and said, though all men. Okay, now watch. Though all men. I'm greater than John. My love for you surpasses John. Oh, I know he's your pet. But I'll prove to you, Jesus, I love you more than John. Though all men should be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended.
Think about it.
You see, the very thing he's trusting in, Brother Fred, is going to be the very thing that Satan's going to use to trip him up. All praise be to God. Thank you, Jesus. You see, being self-confident, entertaining a greater opinion of himself. Now, you imagine Satan hearing him now. And him saying all these things, and Satan says, oh, say it, man, say it. That's where I'm going to get you. You are so confident in yourself. You're giving God your strength. Aren't you, Samson? Look at your muscles. Look at your legs. Look at your neck, how much bigger it is. Man, it looks like you've been on steroids. Whew. Boy, have you noticed how big his arms are? Have you noticed when he walks? Oh, he walks like a sumo wrestler. He did look like an Oscar Mayer hot dog. Now he looks like a sumo wrestler. Man, look at him. Look at him. Wow. Oh, he said, yeah, look at me. Look at you. You 6-foot bag of dirt. There's one thing that makes you different than all the rest of this cannon fodder out here. God dropped the seed in that dirt bag. Praise God. Amen. Oh, his steady attachment, Brother West, to the Lord Jesus. And he looks at that and said, no, what I have got is so strong. There's nothing that'll pull it away. And most people like that, there's only one way the Lord can ever help them. And that is when they on their own sight realize the attachment that they think is God. It is so destroyed and so humiliated, and they come to the scrap heap of humanity.
Yes,
and then they look up from the bottom and say, I am so sorry. I thought my love and my this and my that. Now remember, the Lord Jesus has just given them scripture. But Peter is so emotionally caught up, Harry. He's so tied up with who? Himself. That he absolutely will not listen to the scripture. The message for the hour. The message of the hour said, I will smite the shepherd and all the sheep will go away. He said, not me. I'm above the word. Looked right at a prophecy glaring him in the face and said, not me, prophecy. You don't know who you're dealing with. I'm Peter the Rock. But when this gets done, he's going to look like Peter the Marshmallow. Some of you wonder why you wind up on the marshmallow stick sometimes. It's because you're so proud of your humanity. You're so confident in your love that you think is so strong. Your desire to do something for God. That's why God has to slap us up the side of the head sometimes. Woo. But you see, Peter still had an unsurrendered heart. Watch this in perfect strength. Brother Ben said, we mustn't trust the ability of ourselves or any man. We must completely yield to God. No ability, I don't care whose it is, will ever be usable in the sight of God. God has to get all of our abilities out of us before he can achieve his purpose. He's got all by. He's got something for us to do. And as long as we feel that we're doing a pretty good job. Look at me. I'm doing a good job. Then we'll never be able to be used of God. You see, the presumptuous person imagines they can do everything. But the truth of it is, most of them wind up doing nothing for God. Their confidence in themselves and their confidence in their gifts. Oh my, I've seen preachers get up and preach, and they were gifted speakers. Ain't no question about it. But they had that air about them. They had that something. You know what I'm talking about. Don't sit there and look at me like I'm from another planet. Will they ever go far in God? Never. God will never trust them. Never. Oh, I knew men at Pentecost that could dream dreams and have visions and prophesy, tell you what you had for breakfast and all kinds of things, call you out and tell you things that you prayed about that very day, and yet could never give their heart totally, completely to God. But yet because of that, that's what they give to God. So they give their eyes where they could see visions, and they give their tongues where they could speak in tongues, and give their mental faculty where they could be able to interpret a tongue, and felt like, I don't need to give God this. I don't need to quit smoking. I don't need to quit running around. I don't need to lay all my girlfriends aside. Oh my, praise the Lord. Boy, it's been a good service, ain't it? Man. You see, the truth of it is, a person like this doesn't even know their own strength. And they definitely don't know their own weaknesses. Harry had never been tried to this place to where he's fixing to. But he stands back and looks at himself and says, are you kidding me? When it's all said and done, it'll be me and Jesus. No, when it's all said and done, it'll be Jesus.
That's right. Amen.
You and I'll be there by grace. Was you his sidekick when he said, let there be light? Was you his sidekick when he took and stole the stars off of the palms of his hand and said, what? I didn't think so. Was it you and him that died for the sins of the world? Was he on one cross and you was on another? Was it you and him that come back on the day of Pentecost? Come on, church. Was it you and him and Brother Branham in Sabino Canyon? Simple reminder of your greatness. Drink a little first. This is you. Finger removed. A few drops on finger. Lick off the tongue. Where's the hole? The hole is you, not the finger. You see, that's some of your problem. You think you're the finger. No, the only thing the finger does is when it gets in your eye and makes you so blind that you can't even see. You're going to keep on. You're going to get me fired now, sir. You see, the strength of God would have been able to maintain the confession of God under duress and trouble. But the strength of man can never keep the commandment of God. We just can't do it, friends. It's just not in us. Sincere? Sure. But what was to blame, Brother Jack? His humanity. Looking at, I'm the first one. I always stand up for him. Why, John, the little wishy-washy's always back in the background being real nice and sweet. Not me. I'd run up. Bless God, you do something to my master, I'll mash your mouth. You go over, you're going to do something to my master. He's one of the bodyguards out there in front. Get over, get out of the way here. Get out. I said, boy, praise God. I'm a deacon. I'll tell you one thing. Well, them bunch of Pharisees come after my Lord. I'll, ha, 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 ha. Praise God. It's a good thing Jesus chose me. The rest of these guys are wimps. I don't know how Jesus made it without me so far. I don't either, Peter. I honestly don't. Whew. Now think of it, friends. If he would have been right with God. Isn't that awesome to say? A preacher. And yet he ain't right with God. Jesus told him, when you finally get converted. I imagine that was so embarrassing. Moving his face, God really said, Lord, why'd you say that? All right in front of everybody. He said, Peter, when you finally get converted, I want you to strengthen the brother. And he said, God, can you imagine him saying that? He must have meant that for John. Oh, Lord God. So he depended upon his own human strength instead of saying, Lord Jesus, help me. I don't want to betray you.
Amen.
What can I do?
That's good.
Tell me, what can I do? Can I bypass this? Is there somewhere I can lead me? Guide me, give me strength. But no, not Peter. So long, John. A guy like this always has a problem with the John types.
Come on.
You see, God still has Peter and John in the bride. There's some folks that are John, and they can't help being John. They're called close to Jesus, and he just does that on his own. And then you've got others that's jealous. And they try to make themselves like John. So they fabricate visions, dreams, prophecies. I feel led to do this and I feel led to do that. And it'll wind up with lies in it and error. What is it? Peter and John again in the same church. Can I have 5 more minutes? No doubt he thought it was God-given strength. So he ignored the prophecy of the word You see, a person seeking for this type of thing will always step over Scripture and quotes. That's why when a person comes to me with a dream or a vision or some type of supernatural so-called experience, and I give them the Word, and I give them the Word, and they'll always take that experience over the Word, I know right there, they're not truly born again. They keep doing it over and over and over again. No, they're not born again. Now, a person can be in error and have the Holy Ghost, but if they've truly got the Holy Ghost, they'll always be corrected by the Word, not by experience. A real Holy Ghost-filled child of God puts the Word above experience, not experience above the Word. He ignored what Zechariah said. He also ignored what Jesus said, that He was going to raise from the dead. And I'll come back among you. I think Brother Darrell preached it. Maybe I heard about it. Go tell my disciples and Peter. Let me read this and we'll close. Zechariah 13:7. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. I sat the other day and I read that scripture. I about tore the naga hide off of my couch. Because you know what I realized? He was calling them sheep before the Holy Ghost ever gave them a new birth. Amen. Let's stand and we'll close with this. Matthew 26:34. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter saith unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will not I deny thee. His experience was so great. The feeling, the emotion, the vision, the tongues, the whatever more. Oh, it was so great. Stood right there in the face of the Word and said, Word, you are wrong. My experience is greater than you, Jesus. Lord, have mercy, children. Look at the danger of an unsurrendered heart. That a person would stand right in the face of the Word and argue with the Word. Mark said it this way in Mark 14:31. But he spake the more vehemently. He wasn't saying, now, Jesus, I'm telling you now, that it's just, you're wrong. I'm just telling you. But he got all fired up, passionate, emotions just burning out of him. How could you believe this, Jesus? How could you believe this about your rock?
Think about it.
If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. And then they all get under Peter's spirit. Likewise, also said they all. Now, every one of them, because of one strong, arrogant, wrong leader, all the rest of them start saying the same thing he does. Now, every one of them is denying the prophecy of the Word.
Right. Right. Oh, my. Think about it.
Everybody that's mad at me, you can buy me a gift card from Cracker Barrel, Longhorn. Look, friends, as long as God gives me breath and sanity, I'm going to tell us the truth. If it tears the hide off of us. Beginning with me. I want to be right, brother, sister. I want to be right. I'm not just telling this to you. I'm hearing this myself. When a preacher thinks that he's big, this, that, and the other, let him take heed lest he fall. Whether you've been preaching 5 minutes or preached for 50 years, it makes no difference. We cannot trust in our flesh. Praise be to God. You imagine the pitch of his voice. It was noticeable, the resentment. In his voice, the vehement tone as he enters into that. No doubt he felt, praise God, I feel it all over me. I feel how pitiful. And in a few hours, I'm close. We find him maybe sitting down a stairway in the dark alley with his hands and his head laid down. But at least he had enough sense to recognize when he was whipped. Let's bow our heads together if you would. Lord, children, I love you so much. And I have to preach hard to you like this. It feels like somebody has picked up this pulpit and just whipped me and whipped me and whipped me with it. But I love you so much. I want to tell you the truth. Let's not trust in our ability. You musicians, you song leaders, you deacons, you trustees, us ministers, none of us. Let's not trust in what we can do. Let God anoint what's there, sure. Give your strength to God. Your brothers, give your memory of your keys and give your years of playing. Give that to God, yes. But don't ever think you can do it without Him. You can go through the mechanics, but it'll never be the same. And we'd like to be remembered tonight before the Lord. My hands up as well. You see, self-confidence is a sin. Self-confidence is a sin. It's repulsive to the Holy Ghost. It's from Satan. It is not from God. Sure, you have to have confidence in the work of God, you being a Christian, but that's not confidence in you. That's confidence in what He has done in you. Let's lay our self-confidence, our pride, before the presence of God tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Lord Jesus, I know this type of preaching makes us broken and contrite. But if we can come under that, Lord, then it makes us to where we can be spared from setting down the stairway in a dark alley with our head in our hands, weeping and crying after a terrible fall. Oh, we know you're so merciful to pick us up when we fall. But to me, your mercy isn't there to keep us from falling, if we'll listen. Some people's testimony, the majority of it is built up on what you've delivered them from after they fell flat on their face. Surely there's got to be some people in this bride whose testimony is made up of what you kept them from so they didn't have to wind up on their face. Then instead of spending that time on their face repenting, they spent that time on their face praying for the needs of the people and for the God-given ministry. Help us, Lord Jesus. You know how we are since Adam's fall. We trust in ourselves. We have so much self-confidence in our ability. And if we're not careful, we grow little by little from a shrimp to a lobster. We get bigger and bigger and more powerful and more gifted. And our muscles are getting larger in diameter. Forgive us, Lord. We need you, Lord Jesus, like never before. Dear God, here I am tonight, 62 years old. Been serving you for 50 years of my life. Been preaching since I was an 18-year-old boy. I hope and pray I never get to a spot to where I think I can do it without you. Oh, I know there are message preachers who stand proudly and say, I can preach with or without the anointing. What I stand humbly and say, I cannot. You know I'm terrified when I walk out behind this door or any other door that I preach, whether there's hundreds or a handful, knowing that I'm going to be held accountable for what I say. Help me, I'll never get past that. Help me, I'll never become confident that I think I can do it. me to never think Happy Valley needs me and they can't function without me. Help none of us to ever get that attitude. The truth of it is, one day if time tarries, I'll be replaced. So will Harry, Larry. So will the drummers, the song leaders. But the church will roll on. We are all replaceable. But yet, Lord God, we don't never want you to be replaced in our lives. Help us, Jesus. Help us to surrender, Lord. Maybe it's a worldly friend. Maybe it's a temper. Maybe it's an old traditional concept. Who knows what it can be? Help us, Lord Jesus. Would you take our hearts tonight, Father? Please, Lord. Let the trauma of these foxes. Lord, I remember years ago when I got fox bit. Lord, and that fox was up over Kim's face. I can still see it. I saw it the other day when I saw her there in Kentucky and I hugged her. All of a sudden, I had a flashback of being an 11-year-old boy. We was down in them woods behind the house. Kim had fallen down as she was laying on the ground. And that fox was biting her, nibbling on her arms. I put my arm around her and I had that flashback. Grabbing that pocket knife out of my pocket and going after that fox. Oh, I paid the price. He bit me. Tore my hand open. Her and Harry and myself having to take them rabies shots. But I'd do it again to spare my sister from that fox bite. Lord God, how many of these foxes have we dealt with, Lord? And I know every time that you show me something to deal with in their lives, I know I'll get under attack. I know it. Lord, I ain't dragging a pocket knife out this time. I'm dragging out a sword. If I see one of your children laying on their back as it was, Lord, that rabid fox gnawing at their arms, gnawing at their heart, give me courage, Lord God. You know, Lord, I've always been sort of a cowardly sort of a person. I've thought about it so many times. What in the world was it to come upon me that day to help me go after that fox? It's the same spiritually. People that don't know me, they think I'm a fighter. They think that I'm a troublemaker. That's because they don't know me. If they knew me, they'd see me standing in the shadows, shaking with my sword rattling, my saber in its sheath, looking for the peaceful way out, trying to think of, could I say something else? Could I avoid this? But all of this sudden, the anointing hits, and the hand goes for the sword and draws it from the scabbard. Lord Jesus, help us, I pray. I know already from the text, the emails, the letters, that this little simple series about foxes has delivered people all over this world. I thank you for it, Lord Jesus. We love you, Lord, with all of our hearts. Help us tonight, Lord, with this little fox of an unsurrendered life. Standing right there, the prophet said, the Spirit of God struck you there. Then let him deal with you right there. Whatever it is about them, Lord, that's unsurrendered, help them. A preacher, a singer, a deacon, a trustee, whoever we are, may we be able to give it away. Grant it, I pray, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Can we raise our hands as a sign of surrender in the presence of the King? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You love him with all your heart, saints. You want to surrender. Surrender your will, your nature. Well, it'll cost you something for sure. But remember, the prophet tells us things of value come of great price. He said, it costs me something to bring this message. And if it costs something to bring it, it'll cost something for you to live it. Sing something for us here. Let's just worship a little bit now. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Yes, Lord.
We need you, Lord.
Let's worship him together now. Oh, sweet Jesus.
We need you, Lord.
Help me, Lord.
We need you, Lord.
My mind has grown stronger, Lord, by years of study. My ability to quote the word. My muscles have gotten bigger, Lord. My intellect. But help me, Lord. I'll never rely upon that, Father. Help me, oh God, that I present my strengths, my weaknesses, everything I am, Lord.
We need you, Lord, right now.
Oh, let's sing it with all of our hearts. Praise the Lord.
We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord, right now. Oh, we need you, Lord. We need you, Lord, right now. We lift our hands.
With all your heart.
We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord, right now. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord, right now. Lift our hands, we bow our knees, and worship at your throne. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord, right now.
Lord, right now. Oh, we need you, Lord, tonight. We need you, Lord, right now. In surrender, we lift our hands, Lord, we bow. Fall down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus.
Let's just love him together, saints. Let's just worship him a little bit now.
Greatness,
oh, he's worthy. He's worthy of our praise. Thank you, Lord.
At the feet of Jesus,
we cry, holy, holy.
Jesus, the greatness of